Okay, let's unpack this. When we hear the word betrayal, what's the first thing that usually springs to mind? For most of us, it's that sharp personal sting. A partner's unfaithfulness, maybe. The shock of a friend's disloyalty or the deep disappointment of a family member breaking a vow. It's profoundly intimate, right?
It absolutely is. And that interpersonal harm is undeniably devastating. It shatters an individual's emotional world in a very raw, immediate way. But what's truly fascinating, and something our source, Faith, Betrayal, and Resilience, Integrative Healing and Growth, helps us fundamentally redefine, is that our common understanding of betrayal is actually, well, it's far too narrow.
Too narrow. How so?
The authors push us to look beyond just those intimate relationships. They want us to consider a much larger, more systemic kind of wound.
Okay. So that's where this deep dive begins. The book introduces this incredibly powerful premise that betrayal extends far, far beyond the personal. We're talking about trust being shattered in, like, larger systems, institutions, and even the divine.
Exactly. And when that kind of foundational trust is broken, it doesn't just sting, it leads to what the authors call seismic shifts.
Seismic shifts.
Yep.
That sounds major.
It is. These shifts fundamentally challenge our core beliefs about how the world works, how safe we really are, and maybe even who we are.
Wow. So our mission today is to truly understand the depth and breadth of this experience, right?
Yeah.
And its pervasive impact. We'll be drawing insights from both theological wisdom and contemporary psychological frameworks.
It's a vital expansion of the concept because when trust is broken at these macro levels, it's not just an individual's heart that aches. What the book so eloquently describes is a fundamental architecture of belief that crumbles. That's a powerful image, isn't it?
It really is. It suggests, like, structural damage, not just a surface scratch. It makes you pause. Think about what that means for someone whose spiritual home suddenly feels unsafe or even hostile. Imagine a person who has dedicated years, maybe decades, to a religious community. They found solace there, purpose, a deep sense of belonging. This community was their sanctuary, you know,
Yeah.
their moral compass, their spiritual bedrock.
And then the betrayal hits. News breaks of systemic abuse within that very institution, perhaps a long history of cover-ups or financial impropriety, or just a profound lack of accountability from its leaders. Yeah. And it's not just a rumor, it's a deep systemic wound that reaches into every corner of that community, and it profoundly impacts those who trusted it the most.
And the impact is absolutely devastating, I imagine. It's not merely personal disappointment or losing faith in a few individuals.
Not at all. The source calls it a shattering of the perceived sanctity and safety of a spiritual home.
Shattering.
Their faith, which was so intertwined with that institution's moral compass, is deeply compromised. Their entire spiritual identity suddenly feels unstable, adrift.
Which must lead to questioning everything.
Absolutely. They start questioning not just the institution's actions, but often profoundly God's presence or even divine justice. The disorientation is immense. I mean, where do you turn for refuge when the very place you sought solace is revealed to be compromised or worse, actively harmful?
That sense of a violated sanctuary, it's incredibly difficult to navigate. It leaves people feeling profoundly unmoored.
It does. And then we can shift to societal betrayal, where what the book calls the social contract is
We've got a
broken.
contract, but
This isn't something written down exactly, but it's that implicit understanding we have with our governments and societal systems, the trust we place in them to protect and serve us, right? To ensure fairness and uphold certain shared values.
right. And when that unspoken agreement is violated, the betrayal here can be so overwhelming. We're talking about things like widespread corruption becoming public knowledge, systemic injustice that's suddenly undeniable, or a complete failure to uphold basic human rights for citizens.
Exactly. And for those who believed in democratic ideals, in the rule of law, in the idea that their society had their best interests at heart, these revelations are deeply disorienting and often enraging.
Yeah, I could see that.
The book points out that this manifests as widespread cynicism, a profound withdrawal from civic participation. People just stop believing their voice matters, or it shows up as a deep-seated anger at the powers that be.
So it creates this pervasive anxiety and vulnerability.
Yes, you feel unprotected by the very systems meant to ensure safety and order. It challenges the very notion of a just and ordered world, leaving individuals feeling not just let down, but fundamentally unsafe and without agency.
And this ties into something else the source mentions, right? Spiritual disillusionment.
It does. It often stems from or is made worse by these institutional or societal failures.
Okay, and this isn't necessarily a complete rejection of faith.
No, not always. It's more like a genuine crisis of faith. It's a deeply painful internal struggle, often more agonizing than just outright disbelief.
Could you give an example?
Sure. The authors provide poignant ones. Someone who prayed fervently for healing and received none, despite their deepest emotion. Or someone who witnessed immense suffering that seems to contradict a benevolent God.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
It becomes a deep, agonizing questioning of the nature of God. The meaning of suffering in a world supposedly guided by a loving deity, and whether their spiritual practices even work. It's not just an intellectual exercise, it's an existential crisis.
The agony of that disorientation must be huge. It strikes at the core of an individual's existential framework.
Exactly. It replaces that comfort, that sense of divine guidance and protection, with profound doubt, anger, and this really searing sense of being abandoned or even deceived by the divine itself.
It sounds like a profound loneliness that cuts deeper than simply being alone.
That's a good way to put it. And these profound, multifaceted experiences of betrayal, personal, institutional, spiritual, bring us directly to a crucial framework. Betrayal trauma theory.
Betrayal trauma theory.
Okay.
The source explains that betrayal is not simply an event, but a process.
A process.
Yes. That can fundamentally alter how individuals perceive themselves, others, and the world. It's like a re-scrambling of their internal compass, often without them even realizing it's happening until much later.
That's a powerful way to put it, a re-scrambled internal compass. It triggers a whole cascade of psychological responses, doesn't it?
It does. We're talking about a constant underlying sense of unsafety, a real difficulty forming new, trusting connections.
Like
hypervigilance, where you're always scanning for threats, pervasive anxiety, and even symptoms that look a lot like PTSD.
Right. The world, once stable and predictable, suddenly becomes a place of constant threat and uncertainty. It's like their internal GPS has been fundamentally recalibrated. They're always expecting the next turn to be a wrong one, the next person to be, well, untrustworthy.
It's more than just a bad memory. This pervasive impact truly shapes our entire worldview. It doesn't just affect one area of life. It reshapes the lens through which we interpret every subsequent interaction, every news headline, every personal connection.
It makes forming new trust incredibly difficult, I imagine.
Extremely difficult, because the old foundations have been so severely compromised.
So, to really drive home this multifaceted nature of betrayal, our source provides a spectrum of specific examples.
Yeah.
They really illustrate just how broad this experience can be. Let's start with the personal, which we're most familiar with. But even there, the impact is profound. Think about a spouse discovering infidelity. That's a brutal breach of trust, isn't it?
Absolutely brutal. The immediate impact is intense emotional pain, heartbreak, anger, confusion, just sheer shock sometimes.
But it goes deeper, right?
Oh, much deeper. It can shatter their sense of self-worth, making them question their attractiveness, their judgment, even their sanity sometimes, their understanding of their relationship, their shared history, their vision for the future together. It's all undermined.
And the struggle to trust again.
It can linger for years, trusting future partners, even trusting themselves. It takes a long time to heal.
Okay. And then, moving along that spectrum, consider the professional realm. Imagine an employee who's been incredibly loyal, sacrificed personal time, poured their energy into a company.
Yeah.
Only to be abruptly laid off during a period of profitable growth.
Yeah.
With no justification, no severance, maybe no explanation. Just gone.
Oof. That kind of betrayal wounds deeply. It's not just about losing a job, is it?
No.
It leads to crushing feelings of worthlessness, a sense of being disposable, and profound anger at the perceived dishonesty of corporate loyalty. Their commitment wasn't reciprocated, you see. That implicit contract of mutual respect is shattered.
And that must make it hard going forward.
Definitely. It can make them distrust future employers, hesitate to invest fully in their work again, and carry a deep cynicism about the whole corporate world.
Okay, what about at the community level? That collective betrayal, like when a beloved local leader, someone revered for their integrity, is exposed for embezzling funds meant for public services, like schools or infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just about money, is it?
No, it's far more profound than just the money, though that's bad enough. This doesn't just create immediate financial hardship for everyone. Think about kids getting a substandard education or public spaces falling into disrepair.
Yeah, the real-world impact.
Right, but it also erodes faith in leadership, in local governance, maybe even in the democratic process itself. The community's sense of shared purpose, their collective identity, can be deeply fractured.
And people feel foolish for trusting them.
Exactly. People who believed in that leader are left grappling with their own judgment, feeling foolish, and facing this broader implication for the moral fabric of their society. It leaves a scar on the collective psyche.
Wow. And our source even delves into large-scale corporate or systemic betrayal, highlighting some truly shocking examples.
It does. It cites large-scale corruption scandals, such as those involving pharmaceutical companies that knowingly marketed unsafe drugs.
Oh, wow.
Or environmental disasters caused by corporate negligence that were subsequently covered up. This moves beyond individual bad actors to a betrayal by entire systems.
That's terrifying.
For individuals and families directly affected by these colossal failures, it's not just a legal or financial issue they're facing. It's a profound violation of the implicit trust that corporations will prioritize public safety and ethical conduct over profit.
Can you imagine?
Imagine a community where children develop rare illnesses linked to a company's negligence, or a town decimated by an environmental disaster that was actively covered up. Their entire sense of a just world, their faith in regulatory bodies, in government oversight, shattered. This kind of betrayal can breed deep-seated anger, powerlessness, and a pervasive cynicism that echoes for generations.
And then there are these subtler yet equally damaging psychological betrayals, often within the family unit itself. The source mentions the slow erosion of trust in a family due to consistent gaslighting.
Ah, gaslighting! That's insidious.
It really is. This is where one member consistently manipulates others into questioning their own sanity, their memory, their perception of reality.
It is, because it so fundamentally undermines an individual's sense of self and their ability to trust their own experiences. They start to doubt their own memory, their feelings, their judgment.
Leaving them feeling
profoundly confused, isolated, and deeply insecure. Often without fully understanding the source of their distress until much, much later, if ever. The betrayal here isn't a single event, but a sustained campaign that warps reality itself.
So what does this all mean when we look at this entire spectrum, from the deeply personal to the huge systemic failures?
Well, the ultimate consequence of all these diverse forms of betrayal, personal, institutional, societal, even those subtle psychological ones, is what the source calls a pervasive sense of insecurity and disorientation.
Right. The world, while it's relatively predictable and safe, becomes a minefield of potential deception and disappointment.
Exactly. Foundational beliefs about fairness, about justice, about the goodness of people, the reliability of systems, they're all profoundly challenged.
And this constant erosion of trust can lead to, well, serious mental health issues.
Absolutely. Chronic loneliness, debilitating anxiety, deep depression, and a persistent feeling of being constantly unsafe, even when physically secure. It's clear that healing from something this multifaceted and deep-seated requires more than just time.
Definitely not just time.
Exactly. This broad, nuanced definition of betrayal absolutely underscores the urgent need for a truly comprehensive approach to healing.
Which is where the source comes back in.
Precisely. That's why Faith, Betrayal, and Resilience proposes integrative frameworks for healing and growth. These frameworks are designed to bridge the divide between spiritual resilience and contemporary psychological strategy.
Because the wound impacts both.
Often, yes. It impacts both the soul and the psyche. So the healing needs to address both.
That sounds like a powerful synthesis. So the book weaves together theological wisdom, drawing deeply from the Judeo-Christian heritage. Like what specifically?
Well, rich biblical narratives like the book of Job, with its profound wrestling with suffering, or the scattering of Jesus' disciples after his betrayal and crucifixion. It unpacks fundamental concepts like covenant, those sacred agreements, providence, the idea of a guiding divine hand, theodicy, that agonizing question of why a good God allows suffering and betrayal, and even the ancient practice of lament.
Lament, meaning structured grieving.
Yes, a way to express deep grief, anger, and protest to the divine without abandoning faith. It's crucial.
And it combines this theological side with...
with contemporary psychological and trauma-informed perspectives. So insights from attachment theory, which helps us understand how our early relationships shape our trust. Betrayal trauma theory, which we discussed. And the latest resilience research, exploring how people can grow after trauma.
It sounds like a truly holistic toolkit.
It really aims to be.
And the book isn't just theoretical, is it? It outlines practical strategies for recovery.
Yeah.
Can you give us a glimpse of some of those actionable steps?
Absolutely. It delves into things like guided exercises for structured lament, offering a safe space to voice anger and grief, which is often discouraged but vital.
Okay, what else?
It makes a crucial distinction between forgiveness and reconciliation, clarifying that you can forgive without necessarily reconciling, especially when trust can't be rebuilt. That's huge for many people.
That is huge.
It also guides individuals in discerning healthy versus unhealthy boundaries, knowing when to protect yourself and when to open up, developing personalized resilience plans, and it explicitly acknowledges and addresses disenfranchised grief.
Disenfranchised grief, what's that?
It's recognizing losses that society often doesn't validate or even acknowledge, like grieving a lost faith community or a shattered sense of a just world. These are real losses that need mourning.
Right. So if we connect this to the bigger picture, the aim isn't to give us simplistic answers or easy platitudes, is it?
No, definitely not. This isn't about quick fixes or saccharine
Instead,
solutions.
what the book aims to provide is more like a compass and a map.
Exactly. A compass and a map for understanding, lamenting, and ultimately moving through profound brokenness. It's about equipping you, the listener, for a difficult but necessary journey of rebuilding and rediscovery.
Facing the reality of the wound.
Yes, giving it space to be grieved, and then offering concrete pathways to integrate that experience into a new, more resilient sense of self. It affirms that growth is possible, even after the deepest cuts.
As our source's dedication beautifully puts it, it's a powerful reminder. Even in the face of our deepest hurts, we are not alone. And the journey ahead, while one of deep exploration, honest reflection, can also be one of courageous hope, moving beyond simply surviving to a transformative process of healing and profound personal growth.
It's a hopeful message, ultimately, despite the difficulty of the
It
topic.
really is. So we want to leave you with this thought to consider for yourself. What aspect of trust in your life, or perhaps in your community, feels most challenged today? And what might it truly mean to approach that challenge with both intellectual rigor and compassionate wisdom?